Good morning. My name is Crystal, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Peter Van Leek, you may begin your conference.
Hello, and welcome to the NB Private Equity Partners Investor Update Call. This is Peter Van Leek, and I am joined today by my partner, John Boozer. The presentation we are using today can be found on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. As we go through the presentation today, please note that the information we're providing is as of the 30th of April, unless we otherwise mention. So turning to page one of the presentation, NBPE is a closed-end investment company providing investors with a diversified exposure to the private equity asset class and the opportunity for both capital gains as well as current income. NBPE is listed on the LSE and the Euronext, and it's managed by NB Alternatives, the private equity division of Neuberger Berman. We're focused on making direct investments, which are currently 65% of our net asset value, and that percentage is expected to increase over time. We have the policy of paying sustainable dividends. Our dividend yield is currently 4.2% based on share price, or 3.4% based on NAV. And on a run rate basis, our dividend is currently 92% covered by the cash yield from our direct yielding investments. And we believe our dividend will be 100% covered by the cash yield from our yielding investments on a run rate basis during the first half of this year. So let's turn to page two. NBPE benefits from the integrated private equity platform of Neuberger, where we manage over $20 billion in private equity across funds, both primary and secondaries, and direct investments, both equity co-investments and yielding strategies. So while NBPE focuses on these latter two strategies, it benefits from Neuberger's network and capabilities across all of these areas. So 2014 has gotten off to a good start for NBPE, as you can see on page three of the presentation. Our total return NAV per share, which is NAV plus dividends, increased 3% during the first 4 months of this year. We've had strong realizations from our direct investment portfolio. Some of these highlights include $6 million in yield income from our direct yielding investments, $25 million of distributions from the sale of a single company where we had exposure to both through both an equity co-investment and through the debt of that company. We received $6.7 million in distributions from two healthcare credits, and we received $4.8 million from the expiration of our portfolio of insurance industry loss warranty contracts. We also received $1.6 million from the IPO of one of our co-investments. We've also had very strong new direct investment activity, which Sean will highlight in more detail in a few minutes. We made $98 million of new direct investments so far this year, and direct investments are currently 65% of our NAV, which is up from 56% of our NAV as of December. Now, these include 36% of our NAV in our direct yielding investments, and those direct yielding investments have a total yield of 10.4% or a cash yield of 9.4%. As mentioned, this provides run rate income, which covers 92% of our annual dividend currently. And as mentioned, we expect that to fully cover our run rate dividend, our dividend on a run rate basis during the first half of this year. I'd now like to turn it over to John for our financial highlights and for descriptions of some of our recent investments. John?
Thanks, Peter. So on page four of the presentation, you'll see the statistical analysis that we do comparing December 31st numbers from the audit versus our April 30th numbers. And as it notes at the top of the page, over that time period, the NAV per share has increased 3% during the first 4 months of the year. Looking at a few of the specific line items, the first line item is fund investments. As Peter said, our strategy is to increase our equity and direct yielding co-investments. And you see that our fund investments are declining over time pursuant to our strategy, and you see they've dropped from $292 million to $276 million over this four-month period. On the flip side, if you go down to the fourth row of numbers, you'll see that at the end of the year, we had $346 million of direct investments, and now on April, as of April 30th, we had $412 million, so a $66 million increase in the portfolio of direct investments. This is keeping with our strategy for the company, and it does several things for us. First, by enhancing the amount of direct and co-investments, we reduce the overall fees paid by NBPE by not having two levels of fees, by having as many fund investments. We also reduce the need to overcommit in order to keep our NAV or our cash invested into good investments. And we have more insight directly into the portfolio. As you look down three more rows, you'll see the cash and cash equivalents line. As of the end of the year, our cash equivalents were $63 million. Those are now down to $27 million due to our investment pace. We continue to get towards a completely fully invested of all cash status with the company as we move on from April 30th. You'll see if you go to the next to the bottom line, our dividend of 22 cents brought our cumulative dividends paid to 63 cents over the last three semiannual dividend payments. And you can see the NAV per share, including the cumulative dividends, increased by 38 cents during the first 4 months of the year. Called out on the right is the year-to-date cash activity, and that shows very strong investment flow, $100.6 million of new investments made during the first 4 months. And down below that, it notes that there's $70 million of sales proceeds and distributions of capital coming back. If you compare that $79 million to where we started the year with a NAV, total private equity fair value of $637 million, that shows we have 12% turnover of our NAV in 4 months. So we have a very active portfolio, which is also part of our strategy for NBPE, not to have as many long-dated assets as we otherwise might. If you flip on to page five, you'll see some of the diversification of our private equity exposures. First, the pie chart on the left, it's asset class by fair value. And importantly, if you add up the different direct investments there, you'll see 60% of our fair value is invested directly in direct investments as of April 30th. One of the things we take into account as we're making these direct investments to keep the pace of the turnover of our portfolio up is we always look at the likelihood of early exits, whether it be a prepayment of a credit instrument we acquire or a direct path to a liquidity event for an equity co-investment. On the right side, asset class by geography, we have a tactical overweight to North America over the last number of years as we built this portfolio because we believe the risk-reward opportunity in North America was superior. On page six, we have our additional approach to asset allocation information. And this shows on the pie chart on the left, the age of our net asset value as of April 30th. And what you'll see is in 2014, 13% of our NAV is new investments. You look on the upper right part of that pie chart, and you see a third is from 2012 and 2013. So very new investments and 19% more from 2010 and 2011. So a full 55% of our NAV, 65% of our NAV is 2010 and more recently, with 17% from 08 and 09 and 18% being older. You look at the box on the right, and you'll see we're highly diversified across the direct yielding investments, of course, but also as you go in the different categories of investments that we make, whether it be large cap, mid cap, special situations, or mid-cap co-investments, we have significant exposure across the board. Page seven shows our year-to-date portfolio activity that we noted earlier on the page with the statistical information. But in the box, the two bars on the left, I think as you compare the left side, which is the capital we're investing, and the right bar, which is the capital we're receiving back, you'll see the change of our portfolio by the difference in the height of the bars. So, for example, the dark blue on the bottom of each bar are our direct yielding investments. You can see many more new investments made than capital coming back. Contrast that to the orange box at the top, or orange bar at the top. We only have 2.4 of new money going into funds, whereas 24.5 of dollars came back from our fund investment. So this illustrates the continued change in the character of our portfolio to more direct and equity co-investments. The bar box is also called out on the right, and you see that there's capital coming back from a wide variety of sources within our portfolio. Moving on to page 8, just to review quickly our equity co-investment portfolio. As of April 30th, $186.3 million of fair value in equity co-investments representing 29% of the NBPE's value. That's spread over 46 different co-investments, and that's from 30 different sponsors. We have over 68% of our fair value in these investments invested since 2010, so it's a very fresh portfolio. In terms of activity, significant activity in the portfolio, we've contributed 28.4 into new investments and received 17.3 back. We had an IPO of one of our older co-investments, Sabre, which is a 2007 vintage co-investment, which is a very positive step for the portfolio. The portfolio's strong performance, as you see at the bottom of page 8, 80% of the fair value is held at or above cost as of April 30th. We've invested, as you see on page 9, into 5 new platforms during 2014 in the equity co-investment program. $21.4 million, or 3.4% of NAV, is represented by these 5 new investments. And I think most importantly, if you look at the second row, which is the situation, you'll see the ability of our platform to bring in opportunities at different stages and different types of transactions. So you see 2 of the transactions were add-on acquisitions where we came in and provided additional capital there. One new buyout on the right, a midlife transaction where we came in to value the company and made an investment alongside a sponsor, and then a carve-out, corporate carve-out. So many different types of transactions constantly being reviewed and chosen for our portfolio. Page 10 is our direct yielding investment portfolio. And again, very similar to the equity co-investment, it continues to grow. You see at this point we have $182 million of fair value in the corporate private debt investments and $43.9 million of fair value in the healthcare credit investments for a total of $225.9 million. Within the corporate private debt investments, 71% of the value is in floating rate debt. 43% of the floating rate debt has a value of 1% LIBOR floor. 48% has a 1.25% LIBOR floor. You see the weighted average total debt, and we're always in the second lien or mezzanine debt for the most part, is 5.6, with the senior debt to that being 3.7 times EBITDA on a last 12 months basis. In our healthcare credit instruments, you'll see the cash and total yield is 10.3% on those investments. Again, we've been very active, if you turn to page 11, in making new direct yielding investments, a total of 10, 6 in the healthcare credit program and 4 in the corporate debt program. Again, as you look across, especially here, I'll call your attention to the bottom row, the range of NBPE value. You'll see we continue to focus on having significant number of investments and good diversification within our program with only one of these more than 2% of the NAV of NBPE. So again, we've had a very active investing first 4 months of the year, and we expect that to continue as we move forward. So I'll turn it back to Peter to move on with the discussion.
Thanks, John. As shown on page 12, NBPE is in the positive position of being both well invested, as John's gone through and described, and having significant capital resources for making new investments. Our investment level is currently 109% of NAV. However, as of 30th of April, we still had $27 million of cash, and our $200 million credit facility was undrawn. This gives NBPE ample capacity to take advantage of new investment opportunities as they become available. So now let's turn to our dividend policy on page 13. As mentioned, our policy is to pay sustainable regular dividends to shareholders from the cash generated from our yielding investment portfolio. So as John described, that portfolio is currently $226 million of fair value, and it has a 9.4% cash yield or a 10.4% total yield. This generates $19.7 million of run rate cash income, and this amount of cash currently covers 92% of our annual dividend, and we expect our dividend to be fully covered during the first half of this year.
Our dividend yield, once again, 4.2% on share price or 3.4% on NAV. On page 14, you can see how our share price and NAV have performed over the last 12 months. During this period, NBPE's share price has increased by 20.9%, and our NAV per share, including dividends, has increased by 13%. Even with this performance, we're still trading at a 16.7% discount to NAV. You can see similar information for our ZDPs on page 15. The GRY for our ZDPs is currently at 4%, based on their current market price. On page 16, you can see that NBPE's ordinary shares have had reasonable liquidity so far this year. 5 million shares of NBPE have traded so far year to date, about half of those on exchange and about half of those off exchange. Our average daily trading volume has been approximately 54,000 shares, and that's year to date so far in 2014. So in conclusion, we believe that NBPE continues to offer a compelling investment opportunity. As an experienced investment manager, has a high-quality portfolio of investments which has shown consistent NAV growth over time, and we have our policy of paying sustainable dividends with a strong yield that is well covered. So with that, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention, and we'd like to open up to any questions you may have. Operator?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Your first question comes from Rob Jones from Liberum.
Hi, Peter. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good, good. I just had a question for you that was on slide 11. Which was looking at the new direct yielding investments that you've made so far this year. Obviously, most of them kind of between 0 and 1% of NAV, but there was one that stands out to me, which was the portfolio of small business loans that you made back in April that was kind of 3 to 4% of NAV in terms of the amount that you've committed so far. Looks slightly different in terms of its kind of maturity profile and other characteristics, and I was wondering if you could give us a bit more color on that particular investment.
Sure, I know this is an area that Liberum knows well.
Given the certainty
I think that you guys are making of another closed-end fund. That's a portfolio of small business loans, but it's through one of the networks that takes advantage of technology to source those sorts of loans much more efficiently than can be done traditionally through bank channels. We think that is that's an area that is very interesting, and as you know, a number of these platforms are private equity backed. Actually, the platforms and businesses themselves are private equity backed, and so we have meaningful knowledge through that channel. The way that particular investment worked is we committed a certain amount of capital to purchase loans over a period of time. But those loans also amortize on a daily basis, and so as a result, we would expect the maximum exposure that we would have out at any one time, because the capital gets drawn over time, but also we're getting principal back as well as the interest payment. The maximum exposure would likely have would be half of what's committed there.
And is that an investment where, should the returns that you're expecting come to fruition, you could potentially commit further capital to? Is it relatively easy to do so?
It is something where it's a space and a strategy that we find interesting, but we'll obviously go and put the capital in, over time based upon the opportunity set that we see. So rather than going all in at once, our thought was to phase it in over time and see how things perform.
Great. Thanks very much, Peter.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Bill Calvert from UBS.
Good morning, and once again, thank you for all the details. Just longer term, I'm curious your thoughts on the percentage of the portfolio that's going to be in direct investments. We've gone from 56 to 65 today. Where do you think we're going?
Our expectation would be that we would continue to be focusing on direct investments, and the fund portfolio will roll off over time naturally. We also always have the opportunity, and we're always open to secondary sales if someone offers us the appropriate price for any of those assets. But our belief is that one should be thinking of NBPE on a going forward basis as a predominantly direct investing vehicle.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone, and please feel free to contact any of us with any other questions that you may have.
Excuse me, presenters, we do have one follow-up question.
Oh, sure.
From the line of Anthony Stern from Oral Securities.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Peter. I was just wondering, where are you seeing, given the market's getting quite active with all at the moment, where are the key opportunities where you're seeing opportunities for the fund? And where do you see, where do you expect the growth to coming mainly from?
Sure. John, do you want to take that one?
Sure. So we have a really robust deal flow at this point. As Peter said, as our business overall has increased in its status in the industry, the fund, whether it be primary or secondary relationships and the overall position of the industry makes us a kind of preferred provider of either equity or credit co-investments. But if you look at the investments that we've made, you'll see us continue, we believe, to be focused on the mid-market. And we'll continue to be focused in North America largely, but in addition to the industry is represented by our co-investments as well as our debt investments are pretty varied across North America. But our strongest focus will continue to be in the mid-market area, whether it's lending to those companies or making equity investments.
And are you seeing any opportunity in Europe as the banks try and reduce their balance sheets?
You know, we are seeing those. Most of those were attacking through fund investments. And, whether or not we'll see co-investment opportunities coming alongside there of any significant magnitude that will hit this portfolio is not really clear yet.
Thank you.
And you do have another question from the line of Robert Maroney from Connecticut Investment.
Good morning. Thanks for the information. Just a general question. We have a number of these investments where we track the discounts from NAV, and you guys are in the top quartile in terms of the discount being at the smaller end, which we appreciate. But could you tell me what programs you might have in place to further narrow that gap so that investor perceptions or whatever are such that you'll have an even narrower or even smaller discount, trade smaller discount to NAV?
Sure. Well, a number of things that we've been doing. First and foremost, it's making high-quality investments and to have NAV continue to increase. So as we talked about before, we've had both our NAV continue to increase nicely and share price over the last 12 months, that's been one of the reasons why I think the discount has narrowed is because of our strong just growth in the value of the portfolio, and people recognize that. Importantly, though, as well, as we've talked about, is we think that the adding the yielding portion of our portfolio and having a sustainable dividend, we think is important that portion of the portfolio, vehicles that just have that portion of the debt types of investments typically trade at NAV. And so we think also people appreciate that having that as part of our portfolio as well. So combination of just making high quality investments and having NAV continue to grow, as well as that policy of paying the sustainable dividends that's supported by the income in the portfolio, we think is important. In addition to that, we continue to focus on investor outreach and making sure that we have transparency in our reporting, but also, whether it's making sure that we're speaking to all the various research analysts who cover the sector or a lot of things in the UK, for example, where we're reaching out to investors who are active investing in these sorts of stocks. making sure that people are aware of NBPE. It's also, I think, helpful for NBPE that Neuberger Berman has other closed-end funds listed in Europe and listed on the LSE. It just helps with from a brand recognition perspective as well, and awareness of Neuberger as a firm that NBPE benefits from. So those are all activities that we continue to pursue.
Yeah, and if I could just add a couple, Peter. One is that, to your point of making good investments, I think as people do careful comparisons of our portfolio perhaps to other portfolios, they'll see the maturity of our portfolio is younger than other portfolios, and our ability to make investments that turn over in a shorter period of time and constantly refresh the portfolio, we believe reduces risk within that portfolio as you don't have those longer-lived lingering private equity investments that everybody wants to avoid. Secondly, by focusing on the direct investments, whether it be equity or yielding investments, we have at this point, and we always have because we've been very careful, we have a very strong capital structure. So as Peter pointed out, there's no significant overcommitment that puts us at risk should there be a slowdown of liquidity coming back in the marketplace at any time. So we think in that case, for a downside scenario, we're really well positioned by having this strong direct program as well.
Okay, your next question comes from the line of Tom Schott from Matas Capital.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to ask a question about where you were seeing the valuation on new direct or co-invest that you were participating in. I've been reading a lot in the press about pricing moving back towards levels seen in 2006-2007.
Yeah, prices are definitely higher. Yeah, John, you take it.
Yeah, I guess I would say that is what you're reading in the press is correct. And our focus is generally on the smaller and part and the mid part of the mid market, where there tends to be a little bit less pressure on prices, although it's felt there as well. But there's less capital, there's more companies transacting in that area, so the market is somewhat less efficient. And just generally for those smaller and mid-sized companies, people are having to pay somewhat less purchase prices.
Could you give me some kind of benchmark on EV to EBITDA or price to earnings or something about the kind of prices you're seeing currently?
Yeah, so I would say in transactions that have very high free cash flow, mm-hmm. so less capital expenditures, the EBITDA you're seeing in the larger end of the market can get up to 10x and even slightly above. And as you go into the smaller end of the market, maybe a similar company profile in terms of its cash performance might be 8.5. And then those numbers would reduce down where you have companies that have a higher CapEx.
And where would you typically be investing in that range across the investments you might have made in the first of this year, 2014?
Let me just look at those.
One thing is, John, gets those numbers. One thing that's important to think about is not just one enterprise value to EBITDA multiple. You obviously should be willing to pay materially more for a company that's growing earnings at 15% a year versus one that's growing at 3% a year. And a number of the companies that we're investing in are ones that have higher growth rates associated with them. And so, obviously, that affects what's an appropriate price to pay.
That point. The other question I wanted to ask, which is not related but sort of related to the overall structure, is there any intention to change the structure of NBPE? Because obviously you've got non-voting shares and it's quite opaque and unusual. I know some of your competitors are looking at simplifying their structure to a more traditional closed-end fund structure.
Well, I think there's a couple things there. It was I would say different. I would not necessarily say opaque or unusual. I would say that we've given voting rights to our shareholders for everything that we can possibly give them voting rights on without running the risk of violating the 40 Act in the U.S. or requiring the company to register in the 40 Act in the U.S. And so, our shareholders do have the right to vote. Just the only thing they don't have the right to vote for is the election of the directors, and even that is in the hands of an independent trustee, not in our hands. So just make sure we have the facts correct on that. The reason why that structure was put in place by us and others is because of this issue that if you have majority of your shareholders being in the U.S., that you run the risk of that would actually trigger a filing obligation under the 40 Act, which a vehicle with this sort of investment strategy would have difficulty doing. So it's a technical securities law issue in the U.S., but we very much are looking at what the various alternatives are. But what we want to make sure of is that if we do make a change, it's for the better and not just making it different. So what we have to focus on is both what can make our shares even more attractive to clients in the UK, for example, but also looking at doing it in a way where it's not having a chilling effect on interest from investors from other locations as well. So that's what we're looking to do and looking to balance there. And we're pursuing all the various avenues of looking at what the various legal issues are and trying to find the way to make NBP shares most attractive to all potential shareholders.
And can you give me any timescale? I appreciate it's quite a complex legal issue.
It has to do with both our the short answer there is we don't have a specific time frame in mind, but it is something that we are actively considering actively getting advice of counsel on. It also has to do with the makeup of our shareholder register, and as I say, weighing the benefits versus the what a negative effect would be of having shares that are less attractive for a U.S. shareholder, for example.
Okay. And did you just have that number on the EV to EBITDA for 2014, or could you come back to me on that? That'd be great.
Yeah, we could come back.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's great.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1. And there are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And as I said, feel free to contact any of us with any additional questions you have. Thanks again.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.